Front Page Dramas present I Was Warden of a Soviet Murder Camp. This week's Front Page Drama, I Was Warden of a Soviet Murder Camp, is a dramatization of a first-hand story of the revolting cruelty, barbaric torture, and hopeless suicides among the tragic millions of political prisoners in Soviet Russia's prison camps. This smashing indictment of communism, I Was Warden of a Soviet Murder Camp, appears in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The writer of this document, a former Soviet official, was the warden of one of the largest prisons located at Solovki in the province of Archangel near the shores of the White Sea and the Arctic Ocean. His name is V.N. Kishlev, and he deserted his post and escaped to Finland. This is his story.
When I became chief warden of Solovki, the camp was the nearest thing to hell that the human mind can picture. Everywhere starved and torture-wrecked caricatures of human beings passed about me like grotesque phantoms. They did not look like human beings. The guards called the prisoners Sokols, which means hyenas. And if their appearance was not enough to inspire the name, the treatment of these poor human wrecks justified it. For they were known not by their names, but as hyena number one, hyena number two, and so forth. Most of the prisoners lived in huge barn-like, unheated and leaky barracks, herded together like cattle, their only beds, bags of hay issued to them at night. On my first morning as chief warden, I was walking to my office when I saw a sleigh, a sort of dump cart on runners and pulled by horses.
God, that sleigh, those bodies, it's ghastly. What is the meaning of that?
Bodies of Kulaks, enemies of the government. They do not want to give up their cattle, grain, property, so they are sent here.
But what has happened to them? They were not condemned to death.
No, they were not ordered to be shot, if that's what you mean. But condemned to death, yes, the moment they are sent here. In this climate, dressed in the rags they come in, they soon catch cold, develop pneumonia, and die. The old ones die from exhaustion, from heavy work, or die of disease. There are no hospitals, doctors, and very little medicine.
But where are the clothes of those dead people?
Snatched off by the miserable Sokols that still live and need the added warmth of the rags.
Where is the driver going now?
To meet the patrols.
The patrols? Why?
Because the patrols bring in more bodies. Every night, some prisoner, driven mad by the suffering, escape to the forest and hang themselves by ropes made from their clothing.
Every night, this happens, you say?
Yes. It was 15 yesterday. The ground is frozen too hard to dig graves, so the driver of the death cart drives up to the edge of the cliff up there and dumps them in the sea. Last week, 97 died in the barracks alone. I don't know how many in the forest.
God, this is horrible, inhuman. Something must be done to lighten the burden of these people. I'm going to the barracks now.
Sokols, stand up.
Sir, you're not in a bourgeois club. You're not a great man now. You're a hyena. You know who I am? I'm your superior. And you are in a labor camp. Get up, obey me. So you won't get up, huh? So stay there.
Sokols, what is the meaning of this? Why did you do this?
I had to shoot Sokols number 67. He was too conceited.
Cover the body. Carry it away. You guard, come at once to my office. You will be punished for this.
There is no punishment for guards who kill prisoners. The old GPU says so. Punished for killing an aristocrat. That's funny.
Stop that laughing.
That's funny.
Stop. Report to my office at once. I intend to establish order and justice. They've been accused of much unnecessary brutality and murder. It has got to stop. It has been reported you were responsible for 30 deaths during the winter. As an example, I am going to transfer you to Forest Post 697 for 1 year.
No, not there among the Mutis. They hate me. They'll kill me. I can't go there. No, they'll kill me.
You will take your own chances on that. If the Mujiks know you and hate you, they have good reason. So you have probably mistreated them as you have the poor devils here. I have given the order. Take him away.
Yes.
No.
Come on.
No, not to the booth.
Now, where is the man I ordered released from the torture cell in Brotian?
He is outside, sir.
Then bring him in. A hot tea. It will do you good.
Thank you. Heaven bless you, sir.
I've got to drink some more. And tell me about yourself.
I am Prince Peter Lever. I used to be Imperial Guard officer in St. Petersburg. I was arrested because they suspected me of being an agent of an American banker. They kept me in prison in St. Petersburg for over a year without trial. Then I was sentenced here for 5 years.
Was there any foundation to the charges against you?
No. No, I had been receiving help from relatives in America. But they were not bankers. Just ordinary business people.
Why were you placed in the torture cell?
That guard, the one you arrested, resented all prisoners of higher social ranks than himself. He thought himself an important man and punished all those who failed to play up to his vanity.
Are there many alive who came here with you?
No. Those who died earlier today. Intellectuals, journalists, businessmen, priests.
You need have no fears now, comrade. I've ordered you to be left here in these quarters where you may at least enjoy a little comfort.
I'm indeed most grateful for your kindness. I thank God that at last the humane warden has been sent to us. Would that this had happened before. And perhaps not all of the others would have died.
Prince Peter was on the verge of collapse. In 3 days, he was dead. A few days later, a new contingent of prisoners arrived, among them a young woman, Nadja Tarasova. With her came an order from the OGPU. It was a death sentence. She stood before me.
I know I'm to be executed. But I only have one request to make. I hope you may allow it. May I be allowed to pray?
I shall be glad to do anything within my power to help you. And tell me, why one so young must be denied life? What crime have you committed?
My papers tell you.
Your papers say you conspired against the safety of the state. That you were the member of a secret terrorist group. This, of course, cannot be the truth.
Strangely enough, it is. You see, my father was murdered by this great state in a purge by the bloody butcher who calls himself the Man of Steel. At college, I met other girls whose fathers, brothers, and sweethearts had been murdered in those blood purges. So we organized a secret society. Each girl pledged that she would enter the Kremlin. Each had selected a member of the cabinet whom she would choose. The day and hour approached that we were suddenly arrested. There was a traitor amongst us. There were 7 of us. 6 of us were tried and sentenced. Each one sent to a different prison camp. I am here, ready to die.
You have almost 24 hours to live. I have received an order from the OGPU to be present at your execution. I wish it were within my power to spare you, but it is hopeless. I trust you may find solace in the religion.
Thank you. You are most kind and understanding. Until dawn tomorrow, then, I bid you au revoir.
It was spring. I shall never forget that morning. The odor of the pines and budding flowers filled the air. Stars shone pallidly through the branches of the blossoming trees. I had to escort the girl to the ledge where the execution took place. My heart was pounding furiously. The girl seemed ecstatic. She did not seem to be terrified, but she was pale and acted and spoke like someone in a trance. Every stop she turned, looked out to the sea. Then in a low voice and without turning her head, she said,
"Is this the gate from one life to another?"
No one replied.
"I know. I've expected you."
She went on as if talking to herself. Then she turned and asked me for another moment so that she might pray. I nodded. Peering again out over the sea, she raised her hands and began to speak slowly and solemnly. It was like a chant.
"O light of liberty and justice, dispel this darkness of oppression. Awaken the masses. Destroy the disease of hatred in the hearts of men. Rouse their consciousness. Give them the blessing of paternal love. Give them the strength to cherish their heroic ideas. Roll on, O world, to your rendezvous with liberty. Now I am ready. The light lives, the darkness will die."
We stood breathless, listening to this strange prayer. The muscles of my throat constricted. I could not speak the order that would snuff out her life. I raised my arm, and the guard, taking it for the signal, snapped into position, and a moment later, a shudder ran through the girl's body. Her chin dropped, and her body went headlong over the precipice. It was that experience that decided me. I could no longer remain part of such a state. On Sunday morning, I put on my civilian clothing, took all the money I had managed to hoard, and boarded a train which carried me to the Finnish border. With my credentials, I was recognized as an officer and was allowed to cross the border without trouble. There I made my way to the home of my mother's sister. When she had made me welcome, I told her my story.
Then it was to you I wrote the letter.
Letter? You wrote me a letter?
When?
It was not until a few days ago I even knew of your existence or your whereabouts. Your mother wrote me that... What is wrong? Why do you cry?
That little girl. Not just the girl you told me about. Can't you understand?
Understand?
When I heard she'd been condemned to death, I wrote to the warden of the prison at Solaski. It was you.
Yes?
I was begging to spare her. My daughter's life.
No. You are Nadja's mother. No, it cannot be that I murdered my own niece. Your child, Nadja, my own niece. No.
You have just heard dramatized excerpts from I Was the Warden of a Soviet Murder Camp, the first-hand story of the cruelty, torture, and murder among the helpless hordes of Soviet Russia's political prisoners revealed by V.N. Kishlev, escape director of the Russian penal colony. Every American should read this dramatic, moving story of Red Russia that appears in next Sunday's American Weekly. You cannot afford to miss I Was Warden of a Soviet Murder Camp. And look for the opening installment of a thrilling new novel entitled Laughing Girl by George F. Wark, which begins in next Sunday's American Weekly. This gripping story of action, mystery, and suspense tells of a girl who staked her glamour, beauty, and cleverness in a battle of wits with a keen-minded millionaire to win for the man she loves a secret formula worth a fortune. Remember, the first installment of Laughing Girl begins in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.